All right, our line's totally full. Let's go to the calls and move them along. Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'd like to speak to your guest.
Sure.
Hi, I'm
yes.
here.
Do you know any of the people over at KUOM?
Oh, sure.
Do you? Dr. Paul, who is quite an authority on the BBC.
He is indeed. He's written some books on BBC and Western European
broadcasting. Yes, he has. And he and one of the engineers over there have been through the BBC.
You bet.
From time to time.
He'll have a book coming up pretty soon about the British broadcasting, and when it's out, I recommend you read it. He's a nice guy. I really enjoy. I know him pretty well.
Well, one of my sons has worked there for many, many years. He's a ham, and when he was about 8 years old, built his first crystal set, and by the time he was 11 or 12, had his license and has been in the business for all these years. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, do many of the people build their own equipment anymore?
Well, amateurs do. Equipment in amateur radio is getting so sophisticated that I'm not sure how much building goes on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In shortwave listening, since we're not necessarily a technical bunch show, we don't build too much. We just, we're appliance operators.
Mm-hmm.
We,
well, that's one of the things that he's always done, you know,
it's
scratching around in the old box and dragging out this, that, and the other thing.
Well, bless him if he can, because it's a nice talent to have.
I was interested when you mentioned about these wires strung all over for the antenna.
Yeah.
He had one around through the yard close to one of my big Norway pines, and it was, I think, something called a monkey ladder or something like that. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, that would be the spreader, I suspect.
Yeah, well,
like
anyway,
a ladder.
In the storm, it went swinging back and forth and cut the top right off of my tree. And one of the things, there've been some questions asked by some of the people, and the QST magazine is one of the things that people might be interested in, because I know there's a lot of information in there. My son has written articles and sent things in at different times there.
Yeah, if you're interested in ham radio, that's a good magazine to pick up.
Yeah. Another thing, are there many of the young people interested anymore? Like I say, when he started out, he was, you know, 10, 11 years old and belonged to St. Paul Radio Club. And
there are plenty out there.
A lot of people that were, because it's a wonderful hobby, and, you know,
they're still interested, for sure.
With him, it's not only a hobby, but, you know, his profession as well. And as far as some of these broadcasts from the other countries, he feels that, some of the news is much better. Of course, he listens to the German broadcasts more than probably than any of the others. He studied at Heidelberg University, so, of course, that's
no language,
you know,
problem
as far
at
as
all.
The language, that's no problem with him. But I've been interested, of course, ever since he's been in it, and I just hope that some of the younger people, you know, would take it up as a hobby, because it's certainly been a wonderful thing in his life.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's
a good hobby.
Interesting program.
Thank you very, very much.
Yes, Mr. Allard.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a letter on the way to you that you might be interested in.
Is this the one dealing with a book?
No,
something else. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Good enough. I'll look forward to the letter, and I certainly enjoyed the conversation. Good night to you. All right, now, let's see what we have. I don't remember if I pushed the right button or not. If I did, it's of no consequence. What I'm looking for is that piece of German propaganda that was recorded by somebody somewhere.
Princeton University, around 1940, I believe.
1940?
Historians listen and continentalize this and see if we're right on the date.
I don't know if this... If this is not the right cut, of no consequence, I'll do a commercial while it recycles. Let's see what happens.
The Germans never get much talk about war aims. We do not need to bolster up our people with pipe dreams, nor do we need to frighten our opponents with strut-curling threats. We speak a clearer language than words. However, since the war has approached a decisive stage, it may be appropriate to consider what to expect as a conclusion. This does not imply that the end has been reached, but there is hardly any doubt as to the outcome. The trend of the outcome ought to be apparent to the opponents also. It would be good form to accept defeat gamely, rather than drag on a useless struggle. one thing. The Germans are not out to smash anything, but the opposition of our adversaries. Our aim is to win the war. We have taken 5 capital cities by force of arms. Warsaw, Oslo, The Hague, Brussels, Paris. As the German front drives onward irresistibly, 2 long columns of weary wanderers move away from the line of battle. The fugitives going southward, and the prisoners of war going northward. Behind our lines, the normal pursuit of peace quickly returns. We will continue the drive as long as there is armed resistance. The responsibility lives upon those who plunged us into this war. A war that we tried our best to prevent. War is hell. And modern warfare is more like hell than anything that happened in past times. But such considerations should have been made before starting the war. Once it has opened, untold paths of suffering open with it. It's useless to peddle tales of human suffering then. Contrary to the destructive tone of British and French war aims, the Germans never had any intention of smashing the British Empire, and has none even now. Whether this empire crumbles or not is none of our concern. It may be destroyed by the inability of those who govern it or misgovern it. Plunging the empire into such senseless wars as the present, one, may be contrary to its purposes and may damage its stability. But that is for the English to consider, not for us. As a matter of our affairs, how the English manage their empire. We do not mix into other people's business, and we will not let others mix into ours. The English accuse us of seeking world domination. Where do they get that stuff? On the other hand, they declare war upon us because they do not like the form of our government, and because they maintain it is inadequate for our purposes. Who, I should like to ask, is it that seeks to dominate? We demand full liberty within the living space allotted to us by nature. We will accept no interference and no hint of any domination. We will brook no creation of artificial...
And there we have something that goes back many, many years. You say this was recorded at Princeton, New Jersey by overseas, by listeners.
The Princeton Listening Center.
Uh-huh. And an English voice, of course, English accent,
mm-hmm.
and German propaganda from about 1940 when the war was going
right.
very much in their favor. Okay, we have somebody waiting on line one. Our lines are totally full. Let's take a quick call. Hello.
Good evening, Bob. First-time
yes.
caller.
Thank you. Good
I
morning.
Just tuned in, and you're talking about ham radios and shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
I have an unusual question to ask you. I have a Cub Scout troop in South Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
and this year we're studying electricity, I mean radios. How would I arrange a demonstration, or who would I contact to set up in a demonstration? Can he help me on that at all?
Depends on what kind of demonstration you're interested in. If you're interested in ham radio, you might contact the Minneapolis Radio Club, and PAL Electronics can give you the details on that, I'm sure.
Yep.
In fact, that'd be a good place to call.
Yeah,
Minneapolis Radio and what?
They have a Minneapolis Radio Club. That's a local group of amateur radio
uh-huh.
operators. That's one of them. There's several in the Twin Cities area.
Okay, fine.
And that sponsor, PAL, he can probably give you
yeah,
some
Yeah, great. I thought I had slipped the business card for PAL Electronics. It's a nice red card. I thought I'd put it in my billfold so I could quickly give you the telephone number, and I'll be darned, embarrassingly enough, I don't happen to have it right here.
Well, I think this would be very interesting
yeah.
to a group of Cub Scouts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They could indeed help you. PAL Electronics.
All right.
Easy to find on the white pages. And the fellow to talk up to up there, I believe, would be Noel Lutzey, although there are about 3 people up there who really know their business. But anybody at PAL Electronics, if you identify yourself, and they're listening to the show tonight, I'm sure that they could help you out.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We'll do without the theme here and the essence of saving some time and try to move those calls along, because we've got a bunch of calls coming, and we still have a few good samples of international shortwave broadcasts, including Radio Norway coming up
right.
in just a bit with the Norwegian language at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of an intriguing and pretty little, what do you call it, the signature again?
The interval signal at the beginning. We've heard them for all the stations, and I think Radio Norway's is the loveliest of them all, and it's a little bit of flutter in there because of the it goes over the poles, and that's what happens. I think it makes it even nicer.
Mm-hmm. How long will that cut run, though?
I guess we got 2 minutes of it.
About 2 minutes, okay. But before we do that, let's take some of those calls. Hello?
Yes, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I wanted to make a short comment. I can remember living about 75 miles south of the Canadian border in 1974 when the Chilean Revolution was on.
Mm-hmm. Want to speak up a bit?
Yes. And the Canadian station up there, I think it's the Winnipeg station, CKY, and I think that's the 900 on the dial, had just excellent coverage, in-depth coverage of that. And comment I would also like to make is that I thought that man's idea about having a statewide network is very good, because the small town radio stations I think could use a little the more other than the parochial kind of news they always seem to be having. But it was just a comment about how good the Canadian and the CBC mm-hmm. coverage is on international news. That's essentially my comment, but I'm certainly enjoying your program tonight.
Well, thank you very, very much, sir, and thanks again. Okay, while we're at the telephone lines here, let's go down to line 5 and take that lady who's been waiting a while. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Bob, this is certainly a great program.
Thank you.
I think that I'm going to start listening to my shortwave band again. Back in about 70, 72, I used to listen pretty steady to Cuba. And that was during the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. and the propaganda certainly came out of there.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I've got a little comment or a little question to ask of you, and I let's put it this way. It was said in this book by Mr. Julian Hale, by and large, people who over the years listen to Radio Havana, listen to Radio Moscow or Peking, are quite frequently politically oriented toward that direction, although I kind of doubt that that's true in your case.
Mm-hmm. No, you mean in favor of them?
Yeah.
Oh, no. But you do really find out things. You get news that you don't get here out of our news media.
That's right. Radio Havana covers Latin American news more thoroughly than you'll get anyplace else.
Oh, yes, and they were bragging at that time about pilots that had been shot down in Vietnam, and mm-hmm. they gave their names and their numbers and the whole works.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I copied it all down, and then when I had the opportunity, I passed it on to the people that were interested.
What people were interested? You mean
the people, the ones that wanted to bring our prisoners back.
Oh, I see, sure. Right.
And I wanted to make sure that they knew that mm-hmm. Cuba had bragged that they had shot them down.
That was an interesting way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I heard Hanoi direct from Vietnam, and I wrote them a letter as one of the first letters to come back to me direct from Vietnam. It was right around the time of the Tet Offensive. And I got a New Year's card from them, and on the cover of the New Year's card was a picture of a U.S. airman who had been shot down, and there is the North Vietnamese soldier woman leading him away with a gun. So interesting type of propaganda from that station.
Yeah. Well, in Cuba also told about their children going to schools, and they send them mm-hmm. away a week at a time.
Yeah, they do.
Out to the coast, and how they build their own schools mm-hmm. and the bakery and the whole mm-hmm. works out of the beach sand and the concrete and the farms. And at that time, they were stirring Panama and Puerto Rico. So when this Panama Canal deal came up, I wasn't a bit surprised.
No.
Then I also got Moscow one night, and Angela Davis's sister was there raising money for her trial back mm-hmm. here. And, of course, back here, we got the word that she was not a communist. But over there, they frankly said she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, you mentioned sunspots or a skip?
Skip, sunspots, yeah.
When we were down a couple years ago, when I was down in Texas, right down in the valley, I was sitting out in the motorhome with the CB, and I got evidently what was a skip. A fellow from Jamaica was talking to another one in New York.
Yeah, that's skip.
Yeah, that's skip, yeah.
And it was just as clear as could be.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to have to cut you a little bit short on that because we have all sorts of calls. Our lines are loaded, and we're, again, not going to have enough time. But we want to get into this Radio Norway.
Well, I wish you'd have this fellow back again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, back now to a brief sample of about 2 minutes or so of Radio Norway. And first, I better make... Here, let's do this. Be right back. Get this thing. All right, now that we've got our commercial decks cleared, so to speak, let's push the right button. And this should be Radio Norway with the intriguing little interval signature, as you call it. And all the international shortwave stations have a peculiar, distinctive signature, usually a few musical notes or something.
Right.
Okay, Radio Norway coming up.
This is Radio Norway with a shortwave transmission in Norwegian. We are now broadcasting in the 13, 19, and 25 meter band.
They're in Norwegian mainly for their fishing fleets in the Atlantic, but they have an English language broadcast on Sundays once a week.
Okay, let's get back to our crowd of telephone lines. This gentleman's been waiting a while. Briefly, let's get back to him. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I was going to ask you, are you in the radio business or something, or an engineer? I didn't get that at first.
I'm an instructor of broadcasting at the university. I'm a graduate student working on my PhD.
I was going to say one thing. If you want to preserve electrolytic condensers, either in or out of equipment, if they're on the shelf or if they're in an old AC or AC-DC radio, you can give them a little voltage occasionally. Mm-hmm. Like start out with a one and a half volt dry cell and observe the plus and minus polarity and put that on one, and then go to maybe a 9-volt battery you'd have around. That's one of those little snap-on 2U6s or whatever they're called that you use in a little transistor radio, and work up. If they're not too low a voltage electrolytic, and that'll gradually heal them. But if you just turn the thing on, plug it in and turn it on,
they're going to blow for sure.
Well, yeah, you shoot them with so much voltage, you get too much of a surge, and that reheals them or forms the plate in the condenser. Also, you can put maybe a 1 megohm resistor or something in series with a power supply of the rated voltage of the condenser, and then connect it across that power supply, observing polarity, and over a period of several minutes, you'll get more and more voltage as the drain through that resistor decreases, you see, and you'll get so on. But I was going to ask you this. What's happened to the old brands I was familiar with when I used to work on radios a lot and had those catalogs like Lafayette and Concord and Allied and so on? I know that there were names like Helicrafters and Hammer. Wasn't there Hammerland?
Yeah,
Helicrafter, Drake, National, Collins of Cedar Rapids, a whole host of American manufacturers, I understand, sir, have come on kind of rough times because of the obvious, the Japanese mainly.
Well, I wondered if those companies, I guess some of them were subsidiaries of other, I know they're not listed on the stock exchanges and so on, but I wondered if those, I know Collins is still around and it was bought by somebody else. They still make broadcast equipment, don't they, Tom? But,
yeah, they do.
But I wondered if Helicraft is a National and Hamerlund, or however you pronounce it, I guess it's Hamerlund, if any of those companies are still around at all, or they just all
went?
They went out of the receiver business, and I've heard rumors that they're resurging. Helicrafters is starting back up rather modestly, and I've heard rumors that Hamerlund will be back. So, got to watch the market.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'll let you go. But thank
you very, very much. Okay, now what do we have, Kim, before we take another call?
This should be a Radio Free Europe opening in Bulgarian. Their interval signal, and you'll hear a Soviet or a communist jamming station in the background. Listen to that buzzing.
I want to get into this jamming thing after we get
back.
Now, I think this is the thing that we're going to get coming up when I push the button if I cued this right.
Perfect.
Започваме нашата сутрешна двучасова програма, която можете да слушате от 6 до 10 минути на 19:31.
Radio Free Europe has transmitters in Portugal and West Germany, and their studios are in Munich. They were financed purportedly by U.S. contributions during the 50s and 60s, but actually financed by the CIA. That came to light in the 70s, and now they are financed by Congress, but they're not part of USIA, or now it's ICA. Supposedly, they're editorially independent.
I see. Brief comment on the processing known as jamming.
Right.
We've heard that term. You couldn't hear it too clearly on this, but I have over the years heard the jamming. You'll get a jamming signal. It might sound almost like somebody plugged in an electric razor. And various types of jamming signals. Why do countries occasionally jam?
Well,
how many of them are still doing it?
It's just a form of interdicting international communication. Radio Free Europe is considered subversive because the difference between Radio Free Europe and the Voice of America is that Radio Free Europe deals with the internal affairs of the countries in Eastern Europe. Radio Liberty does the same for the Soviet Union.
But the VOA gives pretty much of a old...
Yeah, U.S. and world news.
Yeah.
General. And because... Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty get into sensitive issues, it is considered by the communist governments their interference in the domestic affairs, and they believe for that reason they have the right to jam.
What was interesting in this book, which is titled Radio Power, Propaganda, and International Broadcasting, is the scope and the expense of operation of a country when it decides to go into a jamming operation. For example, in the Soviet Union, you might have maybe up to several, maybe 100 transmitters or more, all over the Soviet Union.
Sure.
Where the engineers may be listening on certain frequencies as monitoring frequencies, and then they, with the controls, try to get the amount of power on the frequencies that are getting through into maybe the major city areas. But this is a complicated procedure, and it's apparently very, very expensive.
More expensive than broadcasting itself.
Yeah, and actually just the act of doing it, of jamming it, has got to tell any observer, any listener, that somehow maybe there's a weakness in the argument on the part of the Soviet Union or whoever is doing the jamming.
Something's wrong, sure.
Okay, let's take a call. It's been waiting. The line stay full. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the person who is expert on the shortwave. There are, what, two or three different shortwaves? Shortwave one, shortwave two. And what's the difference or the level of strength of these different...
You mean on your radio receiver, shortwave one, shortwave two?
These are your shortwave bands. Yeah, the bands on a receiver, it's kind of an arbitrary thing. The number of bands on a receiver has absolutely nothing to do with its quality. It's just the way that the manufacturer subdivides the spectrum. So it's more important, rather, the frequencies that those SW1 and SW2 cover. So, you know, that's why they do that.
Yeah, one other thing, I'm from Africa. Back home, we easily receive shortwave from different, continents.
Yeah.
But here in the States, very hard to receive. And I don't know what the, maybe due to the communicational signals and all those things.
Yeah, there's several variables involved there. In Africa, there are a lot of relay transmitters in Rwanda and Liberia and things like that.
Yeah, one is Deutsche Welle and Voice of America has one in Deutsche Welle has in Rwanda and Voice of America has in in Monrovia. But, you know, the BBC and some other radio stations in Europe and even from Asia, like Radio Peking, you can, you know, clearly hear them. Whereas down here, it's very
tough to hear Africa here in North America, although I was listening to Abidjan in the Ivory Coast this afternoon. Very strong, very nice high-life music.
Yeah, Abidjan is rather very westernized. And
sure. What country are you interested in?
No, I'm from Africa. I'm from Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Yeah, I've just... Well, we don't hear them very often, ETLF, when they were on the air. But
They used to have a radio voice of the gospel from Ethiopia.
Right,
there,
yeah. But since then, well, we're still hearing Ethiopia from time to time, but it's a hard catch.
Yeah. What about jamming? One of, you know, one fascinating aspect of the American radio listeners in this country is that we're talking about the jamming from communist countries and from some other countries, jamming radio signals which are coming in from different countries. Here in America, you can hardly find radio, shortwave radios, and, you know, literally it's jamming. You know, the public only can listen only to FM and AM stations, and, you know, the radio stations all over small cities. And you don't have to go into the jamming business. You censor the public here.
As a matter of fact, again, a piece of information I got from the same book that I referred to a couple of times earlier, apparently in such countries such as, China?
Yeah.
In other areas of the world, what they're doing to eliminate the need for jamming and so forth, in which they have pretty firm control over the people in terms of the radio sets that they even issue, is to put together maybe a small, low-powered, inexpensive AM set or maybe FM, especially FM, because obviously FM is not going to be long-range.
Oh.
And if you have only an FM receiver, you know that they can't hear radio broadcasts coming from, say, unfriendly countries.
South Africa's doing the same thing.
But yeah, that's South Africa's doing it. Yeah, that's right, FM.
One thing I wanted to ask you, what's the difference between a transistor radio? See, back when we have this small transistor radio, we receive very... you know, nicely down here, and you have this huge, I have a JVC, which I bought for $250, and, you know, can hardly receive anything.
You got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive garbage being sold in the United States, and so you got to be very gingerly when you purchase a radio.
Okay, sir, I've got to cut you off.
Thank you
North there. I'm sorry. Okay, unfortunately, Kim, we started on this program 3.5 hours ago, and I knew from the start that we're going to run short of time. It's just one of those things. It is the type of thing that really stops up time.
Right.
The lines have been full, and I thank all the cooperation and the patience of those who are waiting to get on. The lines are still full. Unfortunately, we can't get to any more of them. With less than 4 minutes to go until 12 midnight, what do we have coming up?
Okay, there are something various unique types of radio stations coming from secret transmitters. There are political clandestines like
Clandestine
the Malayan Revolution. There are commercial pirates like off the coast of Britain. And then there are what we call hobby pirates.
In other words, people who
just
have
for the heck of it.
Heck of it, put together a transmitter, maybe not too much power, and broadcast illegally. Do we have any here in Minnesota?
Well, there's supposed to be one somewhere north in northern Minnesota or upper peninsula of Michigan or someplace like that. We're not
clandestine.
Sure. Called the Voice of the Voyager.
Is this what we got coming up?
Should be coming up.
It should be coming up. Let's see if we get the clandestine radio station broadcasting from somewhere where?
North around the Canadian border, maybe.
Northern Minnesota around
the
Canadian.
That's what they think. We're not sure.
All right, here it is. Well, there's a sample. Was that on the broadcast band? I imagine it would be.
Shortwave. Some of them operate like 1610 just above the broadcast band. You can hear them on your AM radio. This particular station used shortwave.
Well, we use the conventional frequency of 1280 on the medium wave broadcast band here, and our lines have been full. Many, many thanks to you, Kim. Kim Elliott has been an excellent guest tonight. And it was a good program, came out just about according to expectations. Any final word?
Now, if you're looking, try to pick up the World Radio TV Handbook if you need times and frequencies, and PAL should have that if they don't razz them.
Okay, razz them. Now, I talked to Noel Lutze over there at PAL Electronics just yesterday, and he said, yes, we are getting in books and we're getting in magazines, and these are the magazines, for example, that give you a multitude of frequencies so you know where to look for what you want to listen to and time of day information, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the October Popular Electronics will have the times and frequencies for English to North America, so if you can get the October Popular Electronics, that'll help you.
Okay, it's been 3.5 fast full hours, and I do hope that a lot of people listening enjoyed it. Apparently they did, and maybe we can have you back again sometime. Till then, happy DXing and all that sort of thing, as they say on the various radio stations around the world. This is Minneapolis Radio, plus St. Paul. Taking the weekend off, what there is left of it. We'll see you then Monday evening at 8:35, the regular starting time. And Monday night, good guest coming up. Her name is, Janet Barkus, talking about victims. Title of her book, Victims. We're all victims of crime. Rape, assault, robbery, that sort of thing. It should be kind of different, and we'll see you then come Monday. Twin Cities weather, 72 degrees at last report. Humidity is 87%, the wind from the southeast at 10. And we can expect a few scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight and Sunday, with a chance of an occasional severe thunderstorm and locally heavy rainfall tonight. We can expect a low by morning of around 60 degrees. Right now, the new temperature just in, it's 71 degrees. Rain showers also reported in the Twin Cities. 71 degrees, WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul. 12 midnight, sleep well.
NBC Radio News. Pope John Paul I is keeping the cardinals who elected him sequestered in the Vatican for at least 2.5 more hours to speak on various matters, including his coronation. Carlo Confalonieri, dean of the College of Cardinals, says that coronation will probably take place next Sunday. This is Stan Martin. Political and religious leaders are offering the new pope their best wishes. But the kind of pope Albino Luciani will make remains a question after his sudden and